It had been my intention this morning to start a new series, and it was going to be on the book of Ruth. I hadn't worked out exactly how many I was going to do yet, but I had prepared the first one for this morning. And then God, I think, had other plans. And I think God doesn't want me actually to start that this week. And so I want to start by just sharing some testimony of what happened this week and why I feel I want to change what I've been preaching on. On Monday night, I went to my my WTC hub evening, my theology teaching hub evening, and we all start off with a time of worship and sharing, and Matt Dobson leads that time. And he started off by sharing about New Year's resolutions. And I, after he finished sharing, I said to him, well, you know, one of the things we've been doing as a church is, we've not been thinking about New Year's resolutions because we're not big time into that, but we've been thinking about this idea of one word. And I shared about the one word vision. And he thought, oh, that's really good. Why don't we as a group just spend a little time just waiting on God? We'll play some music and we'll just see if God gives us one word. Well, I thought this was a little bit optimistic given the amount of time, but I thought, well, let's go for this anyway. And I feel I've already got my one word, so I thought to myself, well, I won't ask God for another word. I'll seek God for a word maybe for somebody else. And so we just spent some time just worshipping and waiting, and I felt I had got a word for Matt, and I shared that with him. But I also felt another word just popped into my mind. And the word was distraction, or distractions. I thought, oh, that's a bit, interesting. And I also felt that this word was for a particular person in the group, a lady called Janie. So I wanted to try and be bold. I waltzed over and I shared, I just feel God's given me a word for you. And I explained to her, oh, that's really interesting. And we chatted a little bit about it. And job done. I felt quite chuffed with myself that I'd been waiting on God and had the boldness to go and share it with her. Anyway, next morning, Tuesday morning, fairly early, I was sat on the settee in my lounge, and I was going through one of my daily readings, and it was a daily reading about being still and knowing that I am God. And I'll just read a short section out of it. It said this: the first essential of all prayer is stillness. This is the absence of motion, the stillness of mind and heart in the face of myriad of distractions. Stillness is my choice. Stillness is the process by which we grow to know ourselves and become content in our own company. It steadily reduces our need for distractions. It creates the space where we can wait, seek, and discover God. God refuses to compete with our constant need for distractions. God demands my full attention and is wounded when my attention drifts elsewhere. First steps into stillness takes time and demand my total attention. I can feel painful, for stillness is nowhere practiced in an accelerating society where stillness is equated with lack of purpose and meaning. This so easily strips us of our self-worth, for we think we are what we do, yet stillness before God reveals that we are so much more. You can imagine when I felt that, just mentioning distractions all the time, I thought, that's amazing. Only last night, God just dropped this random word into my mind, distractions. And suddenly this morning, I'm reading about distractions. So immediately I drafted up an email, I sent to Jane, said, hey, yo, guess what? You won't believe it, but I gave you this word yesterday and God just given this to me. It must be of God. And I felt even more chuffed with myself. That, God, I'd kind of heard this and I'd given it to the person I believed it was for. Anyway, hour or so after that, I went to a meeting over at Woody's, and it was a New Wine Leaders Hub meeting, which I go to every 2 months. And Paul Harcourt was there, and he was sharing a word, and guess what he was sharing about? Distractions, which I was pretty blown away about. And so I was sitting there thinking, okay, Lord, maybe you're talking to me. after all, my word is aware, and I'm really getting it, aren't I? You know, God almost sort of shaking me. Are you getting this, Richard? So, you know, I did kind of see the funny side of it. But I was so moved by what Paul shared at the Hub. I came home and I just knew, I thought, God, you know, what I've prepared for this morning on Ruth, it's just not for this morning. You're saying something to me, and I feel, Lord, you want me to share what you're saying to me, to the church. And let me say this to you, you know, I have not got this sorted out. You know, for me, this is a work in progress. I've got a lot to learn in terms of understanding how to deal with the distractions and really pressing in to that close, intimate presence of God. So I'm not standing here saying, I've sussed it all out, and you need to do what I do. Okay, that's not where I am. I'm probably much where you are, or you may even be way further ahead than me. Nevertheless, it is what I feel God has laid on my heart this morning. And it's actually from the story of Martha and Mary, which is in Luke chapter 10. So I'm going to read that to you, Luke 10, verses 38 to 42. I'm reading it out of the ESV. It's only short. Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her to help me. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. First thing I noticed, incidentally, and it's one of those strange things to notice, but in the reading that I read, it said the story of Martha and Mary. I've never ever known this as a story of Martha and Mary. I've only ever known it as the story of Mary and Martha. I don't know how you feel about it, but I've always called it the story of Mary and Martha. Go to Mary and Martha's house. There are many versions that do talk about Mary and Martha, but in the version that I read, it talked about Martha and Mary. That just caught my attention, which is kind of interesting, because maybe you're like me. We always think of Mary as the good one and Martha as the bad one. We immediately put them into these two buckets. Oh, Mary's good because, you know, she's the one that sat at Jesus' feet. Mary's good because she's the one that anointed Jesus' feet with her hair. You know, Martha's bad because she's on a huff and a puff about, you know. And we just immediately make these sweeping statements about Mary and Martha. And yet, and Paul Harcourt pointed this out, I think Martha had a real special place in Jesus' heart. So, you know, in fact, it says in John 11, this is the story of Lazarus, when Lazarus had been raised from the dead. It said that Jesus loved Martha and her sister Mary, or rather, and her sister. Jesus loved Martha and her sister. It's kind of just an interesting statement that, you know, in John's gospel, he highlights Jesus' love for Martha. And I find that really reassuring. You know, we might look at other people around us and think, oh, they are so spiritual. They all seem to do all the right things. They're the ones that spend, you know, hours in prayer. They're the ones that seem to be on fire for God. Jesus must love them so much more than he loves me. But this is a complete example where that kind of blows that thing out of the water, because it seems to me that Jesus had a very special place for Martha, and I just found it interesting that the story was called Martha and Mary. But I don't know what you notice in this story, but the kind of thing that kind of comes out to me is busy, 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 busy. You know, it's about Mary, it's about Martha just being busy. And the question is it wrong to be busy? I mean, I like being busy. I find being busy quite purposeful. It's like good to do things and feel like you've achieved things. I used to hate it if, you know, this happened rarely, but when I was in work, if I got in, I didn't feel like I got a lot to do. So it was pretty rare, but I used to hate those times when I think, well, what am I supposed to be doing, you know? But when I'm really busy, I feel much happier. Is it wrong to be busy? Was Jesus busy? Any thoughts? Was Jesus busy? Would you say yes or no? Just out of interest. Was Jesus busy? Oh, you're shy lot. I think he was pretty busy. I think Jesus was exceptionally busy. To be quite, he always seemed to be doing stuff, didn't he? Always doing stuff. And, you know, at times he needed space in that busyness. He just wanted to get away from the crowds. I suspect that the reason he fell asleep on the boat in the storm is because he was knackered. You know, he was busy. He worked hard. And he's just like you and me. You know, busyness takes its toll. And is the issue in this story then, the story of Martha and Mary, is the issue that Mary was busy? Is the issue? Is that what Jesus rebuked Martha for? Martha, you know, you're busy. Well, he did rebuke her that, but it said early on, didn't it, that Martha was distracted. Martha was distracted. And that word is something I just feel God wants to lay on all of our hearts, and certainly laid it on my heart this morning. Martha was distracted. Now, I looked up the dictionary. Good place to start if you're thinking about a word in particular. Dictionary definition of distraction is something that prevents someone from concentrating on something else, okay? Something that stops you from concentrating on something else. And synonyms, words like it, diversion, interruption, disturbance, intrusion, interference, obstruction, hindrance. Now, if I was to give you that definition again now, but think about it in terms of your relationship with Jesus and how close you feel with Jesus, how, you know, how much time you spend with Jesus, you're pressing into Jesus, you walk with God. Think about it in those terms now. Something that prevents someone from concentrating on something else. Diversion, interruption, disturbance, intrusion, interference, obstruction, hindrance. Interesting, isn't it, when you start to connect those words with your relationship with Jesus? Has it ever been said to you, you seem distracted? Has anyone ever said that to you? It's said to me, oh, it's just a lot. You seem distracted. I live in my own little world. Everybody who knows me well knows that's the case. You know, I zone out. And then suddenly someone will say, oh, where are you? You seem distracted. The thing is about distractions is they can be very dangerous. It's against the law now, isn't it, to use your mobile phone while driving unless you've got hands-free. It's not such a ridiculous law, is it? Because you know that, you know, if you're driving, you should be paying attention to the road and everything that's going on around you. And if you're distracted by your phone, that's when so many accidents happen. So that kind of distraction is dangerous. Sometimes distractions are very annoying. Have you ever been counting something? Counting loads of money, you know. And you're halfway through, you know, 5 minutes of counting, and somebody comes by, you know, what are we having for dinner tonight, Mum? And it just breaks the count, and you've lost it, and you have to start all over again. Ever had that happen to you? Yeah, it's really annoying, isn't it? You were focusing, and you're really making progress. Think about it spiritually, and suddenly something comes in and just, you kind of have to start all over again. Distractions, they can be really frustrating, can really just knock you back to the start again. And to say we're dangerous, you know, we talked about dangerous. You know, so often we get, our lives get in a mess because of distractions. You know, we do things where we should really be focusing on what God wants, and because we don't, that's when so often we get ourselves in a mess. This last one, though, really, you know, as I was thinking about this, this kind of really catches my attention. A couple of examples, actually. I don't know how many of you, when you go to the opticians, have you had your eyes tested? Many of you. So if you've never had your eyes tested, you'll find this one, you won't relate to this one. But you know that test where you have to stare at something blank? Yeah, it's kind of a spatial test, isn't it? You're staring at this thing. And then every now and then, a little dot will appear somewhere, you know, in your spatial awareness. And if you see the dot, you have to press a button. Yeah. Amazingly, I'm brilliant at this. I get nearly full marks every time. How I do it, I don't know. But what's really funny about this test is, you know, I'm doing this test and I'm dearly looking at this thing, you know, not wanting to miss a dot. And then your mind wanders, you know, and you start thinking of something. And you suddenly you're worried that you've missed it because you've in your mind you've got distracted. And another example is I love watching detective programs. You know, crime programs. I love them. I can watch them all. And so you're watching and you're forming your opinion about who done it. And then you just get distracted. And Kim will often say to me, "Oh, you've just missed." You know, I'll say something. "You've just missed a really important clue there." And so we have to thank God now for TV that you can wind back and replay it. But of course, we don't always have the luxury, do we, in life, to wind back and see what we missed. And one of the big trouble with distractions is that you miss things. And some of those things that you miss could be really, really important. It could make all the difference. I wonder, do you think Jesus ever got distracted? It's always good to think about these things in terms of Jesus. We're meant to be like Jesus. Do you think Jesus ever got distracted? I mean, it seems to me that, you know, his life was full of interruptions. He was going off there and somebody would put on his cloak, you know, put in his cloak and get healed and you have to dress that. And someone would be on the street crying out, and, you know, while he's walking somewhere, so he'd have to stop and he'd have to pray and deal with that. It seemed to be all the time just interruptions and situations cropping up and just seemed to slow him down. Would you say those were distractions? Interesting, isn't it? They might seem like distractions, but, you know, really, you know, Jesus said of himself, didn't he, that I only do what I see my Father doing. So all these interruptions, I think, were actually Jesus being aware. Oh, there's that one word again. Aware. And the danger is, if Jesus had been distracted, then how many of those really important spiritual moments would Jesus have missed? And this is why this thing really caught my attention, you see, because I really feel that God's word to me this year is about being aware. I feel God wants me to notice things, which is really difficult for me. Kind of. I mean, sometimes I do, but sometimes, many often I don't, because of, you know, because of me living in my own little world. And God is kind of saying, I want you to be aware, but you've got to deal with distractions. Because they are so linked. If you want to be aware in school, aware at university, aware at work, aware at home, aware when you're shopping, aware with your family, then awareness takes a degree of concentration and attention. And when you are distracted, then you can end up missing so much. So what was Martha distracted with? Do you remember what I read? What was Martha distracted with or by? Serving. She was serving. Who was she serving? Jesus. Don't you think it's a bit rough getting rebuked for serving Jesus? Kind of, don't you think that's a bit tough? I think it is. You know, you think serving Jesus, you know, why should I get such a hard time? Serving's good. But remember what we said about what distractions are. Distractions is something that stops you from concentrating on something else. Distractions are, you know, interruptions. They are hindrances, was one of the synonyms, hindrances. What Jesus was saying to Martha was, look, you know, you think you're doing something good. You know, you're serving away. You're doing this all for me, but you're not concentrating on me. You're not focusing on me. You're losing sight of me in your busyness. And I think this is where some of it all starts to fall down. Because we replace our intimacy with God with our busyness for God. We think if we are busy for God, we're serving God here, we're doing this for God, we're doing that for God, that God is really pleased. And it worries me in some ways to say that's not the case, because I don't want you all to suddenly, you know, put your tools down and say, well, I'm not going to serve in the church anymore, because Richard says God doesn't want us serving. I'm not saying God doesn't want us serving. Jesus' rebuke to Martha was that she had stopped concentrating on him. And that's what was wrong. And in fact, if somehow Martha had learned to serve, but at the same time just was so tuned in, was so in love, and was so attentive to Jesus, then probably we wouldn't have this story. So what did Jesus do about this? You know, what did he say? What did he say? He said, Martha. Is that what he said? It's almost. What did he say? He said, Martha, Martha. Little detail. It's a little detail, but actually it's a really important detail. You know, God, in the Bible, you'll see many, many, many examples of when God calls somebody's name twice. You saw it in the story of Abraham, when Abraham was about to slay his son Isaac. He said, Abraham, Abraham, you know, this is important, you know, don't do it. You see it in the story of Moses, the burning bush, when he was about to step into a really holy place. And Moses, Moses, do you not realize you're standing on holy ground? Samuel, Samuel. And God was whispering him to bring him into his calling. Simon, Simon. This was the Peter when Jesus was trying to explain to him, look, you know, you're going to go through some tough times here. You are going to deny me. Simon, Simon, you know, you're going to deny me. He really wanted to get that across to him. Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Do you get it? And there are other examples, but when you see somebody's name twice, you know something really important is about to be communicated to this person. And Jesus says, Martha, Martha, you're anxious and you're troubled about so many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, and that will not be taken away from her. Martha, Martha. It's a bit sad that Jesus, you know, God had to say, Richard, Richard, Richard. it took three times for me to suddenly think, okay, God, maybe you are saying something too. So when I get to Richard, Richard, then I've made some progress, okay? Martha, Martha. You're anxious about and troubled about so many things, but listen, one thing is necessary. Jesus didn't actually specifically or explicitly say what that one thing is, but it's pretty implied. It's pretty implied, really, I think, from the passage. It was uninterrupted, undistracted attention on Jesus. You know, and Martha has a real moan about it, doesn't she? She says, you know, Mary's being selfish. You know, why isn't she helping me? You know, why am I doing all the work? She's just sat there doing nothing. You know, what? That's just not fair. Ever felt that? Ever felt like you're the busy bee, you know, running around? You know, and other people just seem to be sitting there meditating in the presence of God. Like, surely that's just not fair, is it? Well, yeah. You know, I don't know what I'm preaching here. I don't know what the outcome of this is going to be, but. I just want to try and get something of the heart of this story across, which is, you know, it's about our attention on Jesus, not our attention to all the work that has to be done. You know, we can so self-justify our existence by being busy, but Jesus wants our attention. It's the distraction here is the key. Distraction. You know, if you're making notes, write this statement down because it's a good one. It's not mine. What we do from Jesus is more important than what we do for Jesus. Think about it. What we do from Jesus is more important than what we do for Jesus. What that means is, as we spend time in that intimate place with God, you know, the more we spend time with him, the more we pray, the more we just sit and think and just love God, the more we get to know him and we feel him in our hearts, out of the overflow of that, we'll want to serve him. We'll want to do things. And that's the important thing, that what we do comes as an overflow of our relationship and our love for God. That we're not just busy, busy, busy because we don't like sitting down, being quiet in God's presence. Ever felt that? Ever felt like I'd rather be doing stuff than just sitting and praying and waiting on God, because somehow it's easier to do stuff than it is to not do stuff and wait in the presence of God? And God's saying, actually, I would rather you sit and wait in the presence of God and be busy doing stuff and then losing me and losing sight of who I am. You know, last year we had that whole initiative, didn't we, about be still. And somehow I feel it's still relevant that, you know, we don't just say, oh, that was 2017, we can, you know, we've done the be still bit now. We can, you know, 2018 is the be busy year. Okay, 2018 is not the be busy year. It's still be still, because it's important. You know, in John 12, 24 to 26, it says this, John 12, 24 to 26. It says, truly, truly, I say to you, truly, truly, so it's going to be important. Unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. So there he's just talking about the importance of losing self in order to gain Christ. But it goes on to say this, if anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. Whoever serves me must follow me. Notice the order there. God does not command us to serve him. He commands us to follow him. Big difference. He commands us to follow him. He doesn't tell us to serve him. He just says, you know, if you want to serve me, then you've got to follow me. If you want to do anything for God, it's really going to be pointless unless you're following me, unless your heart is for me, unless you know me, unless you know my will, unless you feel my spirit. It's only then is the serving and actually going to matter. If you want to serve, you've got to follow. You've got to give time. There's only one thing that's necessary. That's what's in this story. There's only one thing that's necessary. And Mary had chosen that, and she sat at the feet of Jesus. So let me wrap this up, and then what I'd like us to do is to go back into worship, and as we worship, we can just think about some of this, and we can examine ourselves and just say, God, you know, what is it you're saying? So spiritually, a distraction is anything, just anything that takes your attention away from Jesus. Okay, that's a spiritual definition of distraction. Anything that takes you further away from Jesus. And if you were to look at your life today and examine your life, what distractions do you have in your life? What is it that fills your time that actually, if you're going to be honest with yourself, it takes you further away from God than that sense of closer to God? It's not about busyness. You know, is it your work aspirations, you know, that you're so consumed that, you know, that takes you away from God? Is it family? Is it studies? Is it relationships? Oh, the list is endless, but ask yourself, What is it that in my life at this moment in time it takes me further away from God than closer? And then ask you this, what changes then do I feel I need to make? What should I change? Remember what I said at the beginning, I'm not standing here saying, you know, I've got all this worked out, you know, I'm spending loads of time in the presence of God, you know, I've got no distractions whatsoever, I'm walking on the water on this one, I've got it all sussed, and come on, follow me. If you follow me, you'll probably be drowning in the water, struggling. You know, I'm in this with you because I feel God is challenging me over moving in the Holy Spirit, which I think this is actually is what this year is about for us as a church, if I'm really honest with you. I think this year is about being really sensitive, catching those moments, being bold, stepping out the boat and bringing the kingdom of God into every aspect of our lives. That's what I feel this is about. And if you're going to do that, you need to be aware. And if you're going to be aware, you've got to watch your distractions. You see how it all fits together. And I don't think that's just for me. I think it's for all of us. And I'm right at the start with you all. Ask yourself some of those questions. I'll just finish with a psalm. The musicians can come and join me. David says this in Psalm 27. One thing I have asked of the Lord, that's what I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life and gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and inquire at his temple. One thing, you know. As we worship God now, use this time for a bit of reflection. Now, enter into the worship, enter into the song, but start to reflect. Maybe God will just speak to you in our time of worship, and you might just feel like you don't want to stand, you know, because God's speaking to you. You might just feel you want to sit there and be ministered to in the worship. You might feel you want to kneel because God is just touching you and there's just things you want to say to God, things you want to put right with God, things you want to commit to changing in your life because you realize that what God is saying to you is, hey, you know, you're busy with all these things, but, you know, only one thing's really needed right now in your life, and that is to pay more attention to me, the person of Jesus. We'll take up our offering, I think.